He was telling me beforehand, he said he's almost always, you know, healthy other than, you know, getting cancer and getting better from that. But I mean, he never has like a sore throat or anything like that. And he said, as soon as I talked to him about speaking, the next day he wakes up and he's got a sore throat. But it's back today. His voice is back today. And so if he does sound just a little deeper than usual, that could be the reason why. I don't know if that's even possible.
It's the Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit. All right. Well, let's pray. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you so much for your word, Lord God. We ask that your blessing would be upon this message today, upon this word, that you would anoint it, that you would anoint our hearts to receive it, that you would use it to touch us and to change our lives, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just want the best, Lord God, from you and for you and for your people, Lord God. We want it. Lord, we're not ashamed to say we want everything that you got for us, Lord God. We want it all. So, Lord, we want your word to just do a great work here today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, sir. All right, praise God. Good morning, church. As I was working on this word, I kind of titled it, Take a Walk on the Water. And God always gives you some revelation on whether you're on the right track or not. And just the words that come out today about stepping out is exactly what we're going to talk about today. Getting out of your comfort zone, getting out of your box. It just was over and over. So thank God I might for once be on the right track. Amen? All right, let me ask you a question. What have we been speaking about all year? What is the word that God has laid on our pastors' hearts for this congregation this year? What was that? All right. Fred, could you come here a minute, please? See, I'm calling Fred out of the boat. Could you hold on to that a minute? I think it's on. Let me think about this. I want to ask you a question. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many people here want to get closer to God? Give the microphone to Betty a minute. Betty, let me ask you a question. Why do you want to get closer to God?
Well, because I love him, and he loves me. I want to know him better, and I want to walk in his word.
Amen. Would you give the microphone to Candace? Candace, why do you want to get closer to God?
Well, I have a relationship with God, so it only makes sense to want to get closer to God because we have a relationship, and I don't want to keep it the same all the time. I want to keep moving forward with God.
Amen. Give it to Kim. Oh, you know you were going to get
same question.
Kim.
Just there's no life except for in him. I just want to be in that life with him. You know, so.
Give the microphone behind you.
I want to live a blessed life. I want to live a happier life.
Say that again.
I want to live a blessed life and live a happier life.
Okay, great, great. Ray, we'll end with Ray. Go ahead, Ray. If you guys missed out a great teaching this morning, Ray and his lovely wife were teaching on prosperity. And that's a hard subject because most churches either are too far right or too far left. Some churches, that's all they talk about is prosperity. And then there's other churches that won't even talk about it. We're a God of order. He wants us to be prosperous, but in the right way, the right heart, and the right frame of mind. So they're going to be up next week. If you can make it out, believe me, it's well worth it. Ray, why do you want to get closer to God?
Well, God gave his son, and I just wanted to get closer to him so that one day I can just see him face to face.
Amen. Good. Boy, this is a bright group. Those are all great reasons to want to get closer to God. But you know, there's enemy is always going to step in there. Oh, that's it. Yeah, I'm done with it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Give Fred a hand. We're always fast to say, well, I want to get closer to God, but. We always have to put that little disclaimer in there, but. I want to get closer to God, but I don't want to have to change anything. Or I don't want to have to do anything I don't want to do. Well, God, I'll do it when I'm ready. I know better than you. Or I don't want to get too close to God because I'm afraid. Have we thought of that before? Anytime we think about getting closer to God, those doubts come in, right? Right? Right. But God does want us to get closer to Him. The Word says that over and over. I'm real slow in the head. I'm not the brightest one up here. And God knows that there's people like me. And He always gives us examples. If there's something He wants us to do, He'll give us some concrete examples. I like examples. They're easy to follow. And He gives us a lot of examples of how to get closer to Him. And since this year, since Pastor John brought that up for this year, as I've been reading, I've been looking at things in a new light. And there's a story that I've come across that I've read, and I'm sure every one of us read it so many times. But I never looked at it in the light of what's going on this year. And that is getting closer to God. I think everybody's familiar with the story of Peter walking on the water. Let's read that story, but let's take it in a frame of mind that Peter is trying to get closer to God. All right? Let's see what he has to say. That's in Matthew 14, starting at verse 22. Jesus walked on the water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says one word, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And then they climbed into the boat, and the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all the sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. If we take a look at that story in the light of Peter is trying to get closer to God, which we are, there's a lot that we can glean from this story. To start with, it's good to build up what's going on here. Let's take a look at what happened before this scene. What were they doing? Everybody, too, is familiar with the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, right? Well, that was where they were when he multiplied the fishes and loaves. That's where they were just before where we started reading at chapter 22. Let me go back to that. Starting at verse 18, let's back up to verse 18. "Bring them here to me." He was talking about the fishes and loaves. He told his disciples, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men. But that wasn't counting women and children. And they had large families in those days, didn't they? They could have easily been 55,000 people there or more. But it shows us that if we want to get closer to God, the first thing we have to do is to make sure that we're already obeying Him, that we're using every ounce of every ability and every strength that He's given us. He's given us all gifts. He's just put us all in different places. If you're not using every gift, every ability that you have at your disposal now, why would you need more? Just like the story of the 10 talents, the 5 talents, and the 1 talent. The man that got 10 talents, doubled it. And how was he blessed? The one with the 1 talent that didn't do anything, it was taken from him and given to the man that had the 10. The same way, we've got to make sure that everything we're doing is in line with God. Every ounce of our strength is going towards Him. If we're doing all we can with what He's gave us, He'll give us more. Can we take a look at... So let's take a look at this real fast, see what He's trying to tell us. Let's go back to verse 22. Are we all right up there? Good. Oh, you guys are good. Immediately, Jesus made disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. Be obedient. There's that O word again. Obedience. He said, what's it say? He made them. They didn't want to leave Him. If you were in God's presence, would you want to leave Him? No. And two, these guys were fishermen. They knew that at that time of day, going in the direction they were going to go, they were going to have trouble. They didn't want trouble. But you see, they were obedient, weren't they? Immediately, just like when they were called, immediately they dropped their nets and come. If you don't have that attitude, why is God going to call you? Unless you're willing to immediately drop everything that's important to you and take up His cross. Verse 23. After He dismissed them, He went up by the mountainside Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. Everything starts with prayer. The greatest moves of God start with prayer. The littlest things start with prayer. Everything starts with prayer. I just love when people say, well, Bob, I've tried everything else. Maybe now I'll pray. Smart idea. Why not pray first? Is there anything you can't pray about? I pray about praying. I have never seen a tombstone say that here lies Bob Cassidy. He prayed too much. Prayer is not going to kill you. It's going to do just the opposite. It's going to bring life to you. And when evening came, He was there alone. Have we ever felt alone? I'm sure that many times we've felt that way, saying that even the Lord felt alone. That's why He had got away to pray, right? To be with His Father. We don't want to be alone, and we don't have to be alone, and we aren't alone. It's just that sometimes we don't hear and feel the presence of God, but He's always there. Verse 24, please. But the boat was a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Like I say, I've read this story many times. I even heard it when I was a little kid, but it never hit me in this way until Pastor John started this year talking about getting closer to God, that this is such a great example of what's going to happen and what we need to do to get closer to God. Do you know that Jesus sent him into the storm? It's what it says, doesn't it? Immediately He made them to get into the boats. They were a considerable distance off. They were there because Jesus sent them there. Sometimes God sends us into the storm. Right, Carol? Right. Why? Do you think he wants to see what we're going to do? He knows what we're going to do. He knows how we're going to react. He sent us into that storm so we can see what we're doing while we're going to react. We need to know that. Do we always react good? Not always. I had a challenge here. He was kidding me about the cancer a few months ago that I had a diagnosis of cancer. You know what I was mainly worried about? I wasn't worried about me. I can go to heaven now. Probably better off. Heaven's a little bit better than Melvindale. Not by much, but a little bit. I would hate to leave my family and wife, but I know she'd be well taken care of. You know what my real concern was? The testimony I was going to give as I went through it. Because Carol set a real high standard, right? She did. You did, Carol. And I was worried, would I be able to set the standard and live up to what I've set all my life? And I just remembered one thing. Build my kingdom and I'll take care of everything else. So I tried not to even focus on it, just continue what I was doing. And he would take care of everything else. And he did. But I loved the words. I had all kind of words from people that you'll be fine and everything. And I'm fine as I can be. Amen? In verse 24 also, they were going away from God, out of his covering, out of his protection. That's a scary place to be. Because he's our only refuge. He's our only protection. I don't care if you're packing a gun. You got bars on your house. You're only safe being in God's presence and he being in your life. Nothing else keeps you safe. I don't care how big your guard dog is. Even if you have a wiener dog as a guard dog. But at the end of that, I like, the wind came against him. Believe me. Anytime you try to get closer to God, anytime you try to do anything that God has asked you to do, big or small, all hell is going to break loose. You know, sometimes people have looked at me strange. How's it going? Oh, Bob, you don't know everything that's going on. It's terrible. Well, praise God. Because if things weren't coming against you, maybe you're not doing enough. The enemy only comes against us when we're stepping out. The more you step out, the more he's going to come against us. But don't worry, it's not a fair fight. You remember the cartoon with the little devil and the little angel and stuff on it? No, that's not the way it is. They're not both the same size. God created Satan. We don't have to worry about him when we have God. All we have to do is be obedient. Could you go to verse 25, please? During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. Jesus went out to meet them. He always meets us. He always comes to us. They had a book out here a few years ago, God Chasers. Should have been the other way around, God chasing us. He first called us or we wouldn't be here. And why do you think he did that? Lord knows why, but he loves us. He said he created everything. When he created heaven and the universe, what did he say? He was pleased. He said it was good. Has he ever said that he loves the angels? They don't even get a second chance. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die so we would have a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. We don't know how many chances we get. Don't push it too far if God is calling you. Would you go to verse 26, please? When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. They were scared. That's what happens when we get in the presence of an almighty God. We're scared. We're afraid. Because he's going to see us the way we are. He's going to know our heart. We knew that before. But we let that fear stop us from getting closer. Fear is just one trick of the enemy, just to stop us from getting closer to God. Don't get tricked by that. Verse 27. Like I said, I have never looked at this story in this light before, but God, oh my eyes, this is a perfect scenario of what happens when we try and get closer to God. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Again, God's our comforter. God's our shield. God's our protector. Take courage in what? The gun you're packing? No. In Him. In Him. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? What is it that's stronger than God? That you should be afraid of. And believe me, there's nothing stronger than God, so there's nothing to be afraid of. Don't let fear stop you. Verse 28, please. Lord, if it's you, Peter said. Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Did you notice how many disciples were in the boat? They were all there, weren't they? Only one cried out. And yet he gets the bum rap because he didn't quite make it. What about the others? We don't even talk about them. Oh, they were smart enough, Bob, not to get out of the boat. No, this was the smart man. If you don't get out of the boat, you'll never know how far you can walk. Get out of that comfort zone. Comfort is not a good thing for us. If you're comfortable, come and get some prayer. You should only be comfortable in being uncomfortable. Because we are in a war. You don't get comfortable in a war. The world is coming against you. Why? Because you have the answer to everything. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You can get saved. He doesn't care. The devil doesn't care. Time's on his side. He'll come back to find you at a more opportune, a weaker time. He's not going to bother you. You're one person out of billions. But the minute you step out and start witnessing, start bringing other people into the kingdom, that's when he comes against you. That's what he doesn't want. You notice, too, in this verse that it seems an odd time to test Peter's faith, isn't it? By calling him out onto the water. You know, God picks a time and place that he wants you to come closer to him. You can't say, well, I'll pencil you in next Tuesday, 6 o'clock, we'll meet up at Sabrina's, and I'll get closer to you. Okay? You don't pick the time or place. He does. And don't believe it's going to be a place that you're comfortable, because it's not. It's going to be a place you're uncomfortable. That's when it's going to change. Amen? Verse 29, please. Are you getting something out of this? Are you looking at this in a different light? Like I say, I had never looked at this verse this way before. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. He said what? Come. We can only do and go when he calls us. You're all sitting here because God had called you. He chose you first, right? Send his Holy Spirit to start pricking your heart, start ministering to you. If not, you wouldn't be here. We have to wait on God's calling. Too many people, if you're ever in a position where somebody asks you, what's going on with you and God, and you got to turn around to look at God behind you, you got a problem. We don't go in front of God. God goes in front of us. You notice when Peter got out of the boat, the storm stopped, right? Did the storm stop when Peter got out of the boat? No. Why? Because the storm will only stop when a trial is over. Getting out of the boat was only the beginning. Walking on the water was only the beginning. Sometimes we think if we take that first step, it's over now. That's just the beginning. It's like salvation. Oh, thank God I'm saved. There's nothing more for me to do. right? I'm just going to sit here till I die and go to heaven. No, that's just the first step in a journey. That's all Peter was doing, was taking that first step into a journey. Would you turn to verse 30, please? But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Have we ever been afraid? I'm afraid now. This is a rough group. You know, I ain't seen a group like this since Clark Park. I don't know. Half of you probably were come from the Clark Park now that I think. Of course we're afraid. But is our fear greater than our calling by God? Is our fear greater than our love for God, our obedience to God? In this case, Peter's fear was greater than his faith. What do we have faith in? Let me give you a real example of the faith movement. I have faith that God is who says he is and can do what he says he can do, and he can do whatever he wants. That's faith. I have faith in God, nothing else. I don't have faith in myself, only God. That's the real faith movement. In times of trouble, who do we crawl on? Buddha! We get down to lotus position, go, hang, 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 hang. Right? I've heard people that profess to be everything from Buddhists to monks and Lord, everything else, but when a bullet started flying, save me, Lord! You didn't even know who he was till now. That's who we call on. You know why? Because of what Pastor John said last Sunday. I can go to Buddha's grave. I can go to Mohammed's grave. I dare somebody to show me Jesus' grave. He doesn't have one. We serve a living God, not a dead body. Verse 31, please. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? First, you notice, Peter starts sinking, right? He was walking towards God. He didn't get all the way to Jesus, did he? No, he only took a few steps, got scared. But Jesus isn't like, what's that guy in the Fantastic Four that arm stretches or something? No, Jesus was right there. The word says he'll meet us. As we take a step, he'll take a step closer to us, right? He's always there for us. He's not going to let us sink. He loves us. He let his son die for us so we could sink? I don't think so. He is always there for us. He's right beside us. He reached out his hand. And you notice what he said to him? You have little faith. I always thought he was simply talking about that day, that time. You didn't have enough faith to walk on the water. But actually what he was talking about is something that was part of Peter's life. That he lacked enough faith. He didn't live up to the faith that God had gave him. Jesus knew how much faith he had, and he wasn't living up to it. This was something in his life he needed to overcome to take that next step on the water. And that's what I was getting at when I handed the microphone around to everybody. Why do you want to get closer to God? When you get closer to God, he doesn't give you anything. You don't get anything out of it. What he does is show you what you need to get rid of to get closer to him. Let me give you an example. Where's my wife? I remember one day we were in Bed Bath & Beyond. You know, I'm a fast walker. She always stops every aisle to touch everything, you know. No matter what it is, she's got to touch it. And I'm a little ways ahead of her. All of a sudden, I hear her scream, ah! I go running. She's standing in front of this mirror, genuflecting, you know, giving a sign of the cross, coming against it, laying hands on this mirror. I said, what? She said, oh, it was one of those lighted 5X mirrors, and I looked into it. Oh, She's seen some wrinkles she had never seen before. Now take that 1,000 times. Think of us standing. Anybody ever seen a paint booth where they paint cars? How light it is. Imagine yourself standing in a full-length 5X mirror naked in a paint booth. It's not a pretty thought, is it? It's a scary thought. We're going to see some things we might not want to see. Now take that even 1,000 steps further. When you're standing in front of God, He doesn't see the outside. He sees the inside. How do you feel standing in front of God knowing that He knows everything you ever did? Everything you're ever going to do? Every thought you ever had? Even every thought you're going to have? How do we feel? Inadequate, dirty. And that's why He wants to clean us up. We have to get rid of something to take that next step. Almost goes along with what Anthony said. You can't water down the Word of God. You get rid of the Quran and put the Bible in. You don't mix the two. You do not water down the Word of God. Think of a yard. Beautiful yard, except it's got some crabgrass in it. What should I do? Well, I'm going to put fertilizer. I'm going to lay down some grass seed. I'm going to water. I'm going to tend it. What's going to happen? I'm going to put all this great stuff, spend all kind of money putting good stuff on my lawn. What's going to happen? The weeds are still going to take over. There's only one way to change that lawn, and that's to get rid of the crabgrass. The only way we're going to change, the only reason we get closer is to God, is so He can show us what needs to be changed. Get rid of that crabgrass. Show me, God, what you need to take out of my life to take that next step. All through the New Testament, they said two things, repent and believe. They didn't say believe and then repent, did they? Get rid of the bad, then you can bring in the good. If not, you're just watering it down. You do not water down the Word of God. Verse 32, please. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Every trial comes to an end. How many people here have ever been through a trial? More than one trial. More than a dozen trials. Are they all going on now? The same trial you had 5 years ago. Are you still in it? It ended. Sooner or later, all trials are going to end. The wind is going to die down. All that's left is what you make of it. What did you get out of it? Did I make it through this trial and learn something? Or did I spend my time on my knees saying, instead of saying, God, show me what you want me to see. I'm down on my knees. Hurry, God, get me out of this trial. I'm uncomfortable. This hurts. I don't want to do this. You know what he'll say? Good, that's why you're here. That's why you're here. And you know what? I'm going to do it again. Till you learn. Whether we win or lose, whether we do the right thing or the wrong thing, a trial is always going to end. Verse 33. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Worshipped him. When do we worship God? At the beginning of a trial, at the middle of a trial, and at the end of a trial. The question should be, when do we not worship God? Never. That's what we were created for, to worship God. Amen? Amen? Not just in words, but in deeds as well. 34, please. And when they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. What this is was a beautiful, fertile valley land where everything grew. You could grow anything there. Now, do you think it's by accident that he tells us where they went? We've all heard that analogy of being on top of the mountain, meeting God, but nothing grows there because God is showing us what needs to be changed, what needs to grow in our life, what we need to get rid of. Down in the valley is where it grows, and that's where they were going, a place that they, Peter could take that word that he got, that he needs to work on his faith, and take it to the next step. And the story ends in 35 and 36. And when the men of the place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. What did Peter do? Went right back to work. Remember when his trial started, what was he doing? He was out working. When it's over, he went right back to work. At the beginning there, what was he doing? The disciples, they're the ones that brought the fish to Jesus. They're the ones that handed them out. They even had to clean up afterwards. They had it worse than Fred. These were the apostles. They were doing all they could do. But still, there were some things that needed to be taken out of their lives. Now he's back to work, but a revelation of the next step that God has for him. Could I have the prayer team come up, please? God is asking you today. I'm asking you, is God calling you today? Is he telling you to step out of that boat? Is he telling you to take that next step? He's not talking to everybody, but there is a lot of people here that are ready to take that next step. Do not let fear stop you. This was one point that we said that always works when we want to get closer to God, and that's prayer. We have this illustrious team of prayer warriors up here that are willing to pray for you today to take that next step. Let God show you what you need to change. I know it's a great revelation that there's something wrong in our lives, that there might be something God wants to change, because I always thought I was perfect. We're not, are we? It's from glory to glory. And you know what? When you get through this and he changes this in your life, there's going to be something else. Till the day you die, we should be getting closer to God every day. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us through your word, Father. That, Lord, you are calling us, Father God. That I know that there are those here that it's your timing, Lord, for them to take that next step. Father, I pray that you put it on their hearts right now, what they need to do. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for everyone that's here, Father God. Father, I pray that we all have heart and we all take heart in knowing that we serve you, and that we should start every day by getting up and saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. Thank you, Lord. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. You all said? Amen. Amen.